Hey everyone, this is John.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Super Nintendo Show episode. I don't even fucking know
where I am.
You
brought your A game today, didn't you?
You know
where you are and what you're doing.
I've totally lost track of where we are. I did a solo recording show about a week back that me and Wes did a top 15 GameCube games a couple days ago.
I started listening to that. I did not finish it.
It becomes a mess, and Wes got really inappropriate.
Did he?
About
talking more about child rape again.
About this was really over the line. And of course, if you listen to previous shows, you probably know what I'm talking about. He went so over the line, I actually did bleep him.
Really?
He made a comment and I put in Pikachu sounds to cover him up. He felt really bad about it after he said it to him.
And he should.
He said something. He said something that even we won't talk about. Like that we won't even put on the air. And we talk about child rape.
It's true.
We
And we don't endorse it.
No,
we're staunchly against it.
No question. But since that, I mean, we didn't really do an official show to like break down the news and the new releases. So I'm going to do some of that here. We didn't do a Super Nintendo show, so that's the main event here. We're going to talk about Super Nintendo games, Spike McFang and Street Fighter, and then some other fighting games that you have discovered.
Oh yeah, I have actually a ton to talk about.
Cool. But first, I want to burn through some of this news. Actually, a lot has happened. The last time we talked about news was from E3, so a lot has gone down. There have been a bunch of 3DS announcements. I'm just going to kick it off with Final Fantasy Explorers coming to North America. That's coming January 26th, 2016, which is pretty cool. Kind of like sort of like a Monster Hunter style Final Fantasy game where it uses Final Fantasy classes for like this more sort of mission-based stuff like Monster Hunter. But it's really the coolest thing about this is that Square Enix is still, you know, bringing games to the 3DS in North America, because that seemed to have stopped back with Theater Rhythm last year. So they've still been putting out a lot of great stuff on the 3DS in Japan, but it had been a while since they did anything over, you know, on this side of the planet. So it's nice to see them picking it back up again.
Yeah.
Speaking of Square Enix and announcing stuff, they announced a couple of things. This they've only confirmed for Japan. Dragon Quest Monsters Joker 3, that one they've announced for 2016. Also, Dragon Quest XI, also coming to the 3DS in 2016. And maybe the NX, Nintendo's next device of some sort. Kind of a weird announcement, because they announced
some major developments.
Yeah, Nintendo's talked about their next gaming device. They haven't confirmed whether it's a handheld or
is this at all related to, I know they had talked about going on to like phones as well, like they were looking to get into the app market.
Yeah, well, sort of. So they did talk about that, and they actually gave more details about that, which I talked about a couple of shows ago. They're going to do, between now and 2017, they're going to do 5 mobile games.
Okay.
Not a whole lot, and what I gather from that is they're going to be sort of more media experiences than what you normally see on a mobile phone. Try to do more of their style game and adapt it a little bit for the mobile market rather than just kind of make a mobile game and put it out there. So the NX, they haven't really talked about whether it's a console or a handheld or both or neither. It's kind of this nebulous concept right now to where like, hey, we're working on this new thing, but we're not going to talk about it for a little while.
And it's going to be like augmented reality glasses. That's their next thing.
That'd be kind of funny.
Yeah, but they're bringing back the 64 controller.
Yeah, there you go. Shitty analog stick and all.
Yep.
But yeah, Square Enix kind of sort of made the first game announcement for this thing that we don't really know what it is yet. So Dragon Quest XI has come to 3DS, PS4. Maybe the NX, which is kind of a mean announcement because it doesn't really tell us what the NX is, mm-hmm. because a 3DS is a handheld, a PS4 is a console, and the NX could be one, the other, or both. Yeah. And since there's a handheld version, there's a console version, they could be doing one or the other.
maybe it's like a PS4, just like with the logo. It's like taped across.
It's like some gaff tape with Nintendo written on it. Yeah, maybe. Nintendo and Sony back together. did you happen to see the Nintendo PlayStation that surfaced?
No,
so
I didn't.
History lesson for anyone who's not aware. Back during the Super Nintendo games, their days, Nintendo was interested in doing a CD add-on for the Super Nintendo, kind of like the Sega CD for the Genesis, and they were partnering with Sony on it. Mm-hmm. Development was moving along. They even had some prototypes, and Nintendo pulled the plug and then decided
to... Well, they were always anti-disc. They didn't want people, like, burning games and stuff like that. They were worried about piracy.
Well, they also worried about loading times. That was the biggest thing with the N64 is that... And I'm sure piracy played a factor in it as well, but their big message was, you know, when you're playing a game, you don't have to deal with these load screens. So,
well, it's ironic because I was also going to bring up, I'll talk about it later on, but Street Fighter Alpha 2 is a November 1996 release on the Super Nintendo. Way late, but it actually does have a loading issue. Not an issue, it's a known thing that it's happening, but the sound files were so big that right when, you know, it like counts down and it goes fight.
Yeah.
It goes fight, and then you have to wait 2 seconds before you can do anything.
It's interesting.
Weird. No, I mean, the Super Nintendo had load time issues.
Huh.
At any rate, go ahead.
But anyway, I don't remember how we got onto the topic of the Nintendo PlayStation, but some pictures actually surfaced of what these things look like. So, you know, if you go out there and you Google Nintendo PlayStation, you actually see what they were working on. But Nintendo pulled the plug kind of at the 0 hour and instead partnered with Philips to sort of allow them to license Nintendo games and develop certain Nintendo games on the Philips CDI, which led to like really shitty games like Zelda and the Wand of Gamelin.
Really?
Yeah, there were three Zelda games.
So is this how the GameCube mini disc came about? Was it with them? Or are these actual cartridges?
No, the Philips CDI, I think, was a disc-based system, but the Philips CDI was kind of around during the end of the Super Nintendo, beginning of the N64, if I'm not getting my timing confused here. Mm. But the sort of betrayal that Sony felt from Nintendo prompted them to, like, well, you know, if you don't want to make those, we're going to make our own fucking console. And they went along and made the PlayStation, which, you know, has been a pretty big success for them.
Yeah. Well, it's like how Coca-Cola once had the opportunity to buy out Pepsi for nothing.
Oh, yeah?
Or like how Blockbuster had the opportunity to buy out Netflix. And they didn't take the bait.
Yep. Suckers. Yeah. One exists and the other doesn't now.
Yeah, well, you know, you gotta look ahead. You gotta think about the long term, not the short term.
I mean, and to be fair, Coke buying out Pepsi, I mean, they could just, like, take their own cola and pee in it, and there you go, you got Pepsi.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of how it is.
I'm pretty sure the mic picked you up. So, Dragon Quest XI, interesting announcement.
Are you a big Dragon Quest fan?
No.
Okay.
Actually, and you know...
So you're pumped about the 11th installment?
One other Dragon Quest thing. Dragon Quest 7 and 8 were remade for the 3DS. They were not announced for North America. A Square Enix, maybe, Europe employee, kind of, or representative, kind of let it slip that they were possibly maybe localizing the game in French, which hints to a localization in Europe. English is a language they speak in Europe, specifically in England, which means that it probably wouldn't be too big of a hassle for them to localize it in North America. So that might be happening maybe someday, one day. I talk about this because...
But like, we call them cookies, though, and they call them biscuits. It's going to be... Yeah,
it's going to be confusing.
Yeah, we call them elevators. They call them go-up boxes.
We call them police. They call them bobbies.
Yeah, bobbies. Yeah. Oh, like the Van Damme movie, Time Bobby.
Yeah. They call them chavs. We call them sluts.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
But the reason I bring up Dragon Quest, and you asked, so I'll answer. I have a complicated relationship with this series. It is a series that every time there's a new one announced, like, oh, Dragon Quest, that's an RPG. I like playing games where all of my actions are dependent on selecting things from menus.
I like maps. I like menus.
I love both of those things, yes. And every time I play a Dragon Quest game, I get about an hour into it. It's like, I remember why I hate this. Because the grinding is relentless and the battles are all random and very high encounter rates. It is a very Japanese RPG series that has been staunchly against changing anything. And I don't particularly like the battle system. I don't like the setups. I don't like that... the battles are random and that they hit you with so many of them and that you have to do all this grinding. Those are my biggest issues with the Dragon Quest series. But it's one of those things where they won't give it to me.
No.
They won't even give me the option of buying it. So when they finally do, I'll probably fucking buy it. Because I'm a huge sucker.
Yeah.
So, Dragon Quest, not a series I like, but... probably one that I will buy if they ever give me the option again.
Yeah. One that you're kind of in an abusive relationship with.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I'm in an abusive relationship with Square Enix.
Yeah.
They give me things like Bravely Default. I'm like, oh, they're not so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do that thing in Bravely Default where they make me play the game 5 times to get the real ending. And that's abusive as well. They are terrible people. God damn them. So, another 3DS game announcement. Stella Glow was announced to be localized by Atlus in North America in holiday 2015. I think this one had already been announced, but they finally gave us a time frame for 2015. This one's an interesting game. It's another JRPG. This one is from Image Epoch. I don't even know if that's how you pronounce it correctly, mm-hmm. but they're a company that did a few RPGs on the DS that were pretty good. They did like the Luminous Arc series, which was kind of like a light fire emblem sort of strategy RPG, which is pretty cool. The most interesting thing about this game, Stella Glow, is that it's their last game because they have filed for bankruptcy. Atlus has taken on the project of localizing it and publishing in North America. But they kind of went into bankruptcy in a sort of strange way. Mm-hmm. They had some financial difficulties. They owed some money to some publishers. And then their CEO disappeared.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, has he surfaced?
No.
Really?
He has disappeared. And it was... He, like, disappeared from Twitter. He, like, wasn't posting anything on Twitter anymore. And then some other people had remarked, like, his employees, like, they haven't seen him in a while. And then no one can get in contact with this guy.
Really?
He is gone. He has disappeared off the face of the planet. Mm. He's been abducted.
Do you think this is something nefarious? Or do you think this was, like, a boating trip that went bad? And, like, he's just...
I think that he was... He was aware that
he
was facing some financial difficulties and was like, no, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm gone. So, I mean, hopefully his employees can find other work elsewhere because they've made some solid stuff. But yeah, it's just a really strange situation.
Yeah, that is bizarre.
SteamWorld Heist got a sort of time frame announcement, fall 2015. This one's from Image Inform, sequel to SteamWorld Dig. Very cool little game. Elliot Quest is coming to the 3DS. This one's from Play Everywhere. It's coming in 2016. It's already out on the Wii U. Zero Escape 3 was announced for the 3DS. This one's an interesting one as well because
it's got two numbers in its name.
Zero Escape 3, yes indeed. So the Zero Escape series started on the DS, and there's a 3DS entry. And after the second one, after Zero Escape 2, the developer pretty much said, yeah, there's never going to be a third one because of the catastrophic performance of the other two. Mm-hmm. But here we are in the year of our Lord, 2015. And yeah. Hey, there's another one coming, apparently.
Oh,
so
how about that?
They must have found the wherewithal to get it done.
Mm-hmm. They realize we have no other option at this point. We can't develop a new...
We have to make a game. We can't... making a game is going to make us far more money than not making a game. Yeah. I think that's the conclusion they came to. So, we've got a little bit more information about Fire Emblem Fates. The third scenario was revealed. It is called The Invisible Kingdom in Japan. So, for those of you uninitiated, the next Fire Emblem game will be basically two games. There'll be I completely forget what they're called now. The Light Kingdom, basically, and then the Dark Kingdom. That doesn't really connotate, like, one is good and one is evil. It's just basically the color of clothes they're wearing.
Okay.
So, it's Conquest. The Dark Kingdom is called Conquest. That's the name of the game. And then the Light Kingdom is something else. It escapes me.
Yeah.
And the third one is basically what you have to do in Fire Emblem Fates, if you're unaware, is 6 missions into the game, you have to choose if you're going to be on the side of the defending kingdom or the attacking kingdom, the invaders.
Okay.
And that whichever version you buy pretty much decides that for you, or you can download the game and play through the first 6 missions, and whichever one you choose, it'll lock you in for the rest of the game. So, kind of like Pokemon, if you want to experience all of it, you have to buy both games. But unlike Pokemon, it is a substantially different game between the versions. So the missions are different, the characters you recruit are different, so on and so forth. It's not the difference between, like...
Well, there was a great Square game a while ago. I want to say it was on PS2, called Radiant Knights. Did you ever play that one?
No, I haven't.
It was all about, recruiting different guys, and like depending upon like, because it was your typical RPG where there was a lot of character building, but you could pretty much recruit every kind of thing you wanted. So you could get small little mages, you can get big ogres that are good for fighting, and depending upon how you played the game and what your decisions were, you'd have to do certain things to get people interested in joining your clan or your team. don't know. Interesting. Just saying. Like, it was an interesting way to make it so that there was gravity to your decisions.
Did you have to, like build a sort of reputation and the sort of things you did? Like, if you were kind of a sinister person, you were more likely to recruit, like, ogres and more villainous things? Cool.
Precisely. Like, so if you did want to be just, like, really villainous and mean, you could get all of the bad guys. And, like, there were also certain achievements. I think kind of like the tactics, Final Fantasy Tactics. You know how, like, if you did really, really well, you could get, like, the law people or, like, all the main characters, basically, you could recruit to your team. Same way with Radiata.
Interesting. So you're kind of, you're not making decisions, you know, that seem to affect your party that much, but you make the decision which side you want to take, and then the third scenario basically is like you choose no side and you go off and do your own thing, which is interesting. Okay. So we'll see how that works out. And then, not really so much of a game announcement, but a game delay. Project Cross Zone 2 was delayed to 2016. I don't think anyone's feeling a real heavy loss over that one.
It's news to me. What is it?
Project Cross Zone, it is a mashup of a ton of different characters across multiple franchises in sort of a strategy RPG. Like Capcom, Sega, Namco Bandai, they take characters from different games and they put them all into this strategy RPG. The thing, Project Cross Zone 1 is a game that I talked about at great length on the show before. My big issue with it was that when you're in the sort of macro level of the map, moving around on the grid, there's not much strategy, there's no real like terrain effects, there's no good way to bait or lure enemies into attacks, there's no sort of weapon alignment that'll give you a particular advantage against a different type of enemy. Basically, when you enter the battle, it takes on more of a fighting game setup, where you know you have your characters and you're pressing like forward attack to do a certain attack combo, down attack to do a different one, and timing them in appropriate places. Like, you'll press forward attack and go through this big animation of your characters attacking, and then if you switch to your down attack at an appropriate time, you'll do more damage. My problem was it was much too shallow on the sort of strategy RPG side, because your leveling up didn't really do much for you other than increase your HP, and then it was also really light in the sort of fighting aspects of it as well. It was nothing more than inputting these really basic commands at a specific time. It was really more of a visual candy. Like, you saw them execute these really awesome attacks, but you didn't really have much to do with it actually happening. So it was, and the game was forever long. It took me 60 hours to get through. And each, I don't want to go on too much about this game, but every mission followed the same structure. You would enter a mission, you see all of your enemies, you progress for a few turns, and they always just threw a ton more enemies at you. About, you know, a quarter of the way into the mission. And every time, they fooled me every time toward the end of the game, where I would get just a little bit further before they threw all these reinforcements at me. So I'd be like, okay, well, maybe this is just a basic mission where I can see all the enemies and I'd be able to get through it all and know exactly what to do. Oh, fuck, there's all the reinforcements. God damn it.
It's not like a fog of war is lifted. They just come in from the corner. They're just like, here you are.
They just appear out of the ether, and some of them are like teleported right next to you.
That's awesome.
Yep. Totally takes out the strategy. Well, let's move over to some Wii U announcements. There are a bunch of games announced for the Wii U eShop. I'm just going to burn through these real quick. Limbo, which is a pretty highly acclaimed game on other systems. Zeo Drifter, which is already available on the 3DS. That one's actually already out at time of recording here, and it's cross-buy, so if you have the 3DS version, you can get this one for free. Badland Game of the Year Edition, also already out now, and I have that one. Hopefully we'll be talking about it on a later show. Freedom Planet got a release date announced for August 3rd, but then it was delayed to an unspecified date. Monochrono was announced. Also, Level 22 Gary's Misadventures. I want to stop for a second about Level 22 Gary's Misadventures, because this game looks silly.
Yeah.
In a really good way. So the premise is you're a guy who is late for work.
Okay.
And it becomes a stealth action game for you to sneak up, presumably to the 22nd level of your building, without being spotted by anyone. And he's like crawling through air vents and like snapping people's necks in the bathroom, figuratively speaking. I don't know if that's actually something that you do. But yeah, it looks just like a really cool, funny, interesting setup for a stealth game. And I'm actually really kind of...
So it's like a Metal Gear game. If it was not about the Cold War, it was about someone trying to get into
work late. Right, exactly. Just someone who's trying not to like get caught by his boss in the hallway.
That sounds fantastic.
Dry, I don't even know how if that's how you pronounce it. DREI. It's a pretty highly acclaimed game on mobile and tablet systems. It is coming to the Wii U this fall. Also, Chronicles of Teddy, Harmony of Exodus.
Okay, that's a lot of words.
Yep. here's a few more words for you. Chompy Chomp Chomp Party has been announced for holiday 2015 for the Wii U. Hue, also coming to the Wii U in early 2016.
Like this a shade of color? Or like as yes. in Grant?
So yeah, Hue, H-U-E, as in shades of color. And this one's an interesting platforming looking game. Curve Studios is bringing it to the Wii U. They're a really big publisher of indie games now. This one's developed by Fiddlesticks, and it's a platformer where your platforms are a shade of color, mm-hmm. and you also maybe have obstacles that are a different shade of color, like a yellow platform, an orange wall in your way. And what you do is you can then select which color you want to change your background to. So if you change your background to orange, that orange wall just kind of becomes part of the background. You're able to progress on the platforms.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, there's actually a similar game also coming to the Wii U to that concept called Runbo. Runbo is more of a, not really endless runner, but because it does have an end, but more of a runner type of game where you're just trying to get to the end the fastest, whereas Hue seems to have more puzzle elements to it, which is a lot more appealing to me. Terraria is also coming to the Wii U and 3DS in early 2016. I'm not sure if this one's a digital release or a retail release or both because there's box art for it, but I can't find anywhere else on the internet that's...
Wait, Terraria's an old game. Or not old game, but I think it's...
Yeah, it's been out for a while. Yeah. And it's finally coming over to the Wii U, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Devil's Third is getting a Wii U retail release, quarter four 2015. This one... It had a sort of a weird back and forth, kind of a soap opera going on the past month and a half. So Nintendo was completely, like, this one was announced for the Wii U. Nintendo was publishing it. Nintendo kind of pulled a bayonetta with this one, saved this game from the ashes of development hell. Mm-hmm. No one else wanted to publish it. It was originally announced for previous systems, I think the Xbox 360 and the PS3. And Nintendo came in, said, hey, bring it to our system, we'll publish it. Mm-hmm. So they were bringing it. Then Nintendo shut up completely about it. Didn't say anything at E3. People would ask, hey, is this game being published? They said nothing. A release date was announced for Japan and Europe at the end of this month, the end of August. Nintendo of America went completely quiet. For a while, they weren't saying anything. Mm-hmm. They finally said, we're not sure if we're going to publish it because of the quality of the game. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot being said right now about the low quality of the game. Then it was speculated that the game wasn't going to be coming out in North America. Then maybe it was a different party who was going to be picking it up. And then after enough people were like, all right, what the fuck is going on with this game? Nintendo of America was finally like, okay, we're going to publish it. This is when it's coming out. So it's kind of been going back and forth for a little while. I don't know if I'll be getting this game. I guess it depends on what else is going to be coming out around the time of release.
Wait to see what critical consensus seems to be on it, if it really is that big of a train wreck.
Doesn't look good.
Yeah.
It is not looking good for this game. And I have been guilty of calling it Devil's Turd in the past because it has not been looking good for a little while. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to keep an open mind about it, but the crazy thing is the more like poor impressions that people have of this game, the more that the creator seems to be lashing out.
Yeah.
And one of the big things recently was he said that in response to people who didn't like the game, is like, well, this is more for people who are good at games, essentially, is what he said. I'm paraphrasing in a big way, but basically he's like, you don't like this game? Maybe you should be better at it.
Yeah.
And that sort of lashing out, it does not encourage people to go into your game with an open mind.
Yeah.
That's not, it's not productive, that sort of attitude. Hmm. Anyway, this guy, Itagaki, the sort of development mind behind this game, the sort of visionary behind this game, he's always kind of seemed like a big tool to me. I've never really liked the guy, but, he makes for interesting conversation from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, can I talk about a game real quick?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so there's a game that has been getting really popular over the past month called Rocket League. Have you
heard of it? I have, yes.
As far as I know, there's no intentions to bring this to the Wii, which is a shame because this is just the kind of game that would thrive on the Wii, I think, just from seeing how fun it is to play with a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because essentially you're driving in a car in a stadium. And you're basically playing soccer. Like, you're trying to drive your car into the soccer ball.
Like you do.
Yeah. And it's such a bizarre game, and then you watch it, and then you play it, and it's just so much fun. It's, like, really addictive, because it's a very sharp game. It's, like, it's got good controls, plays really well. And, like, every bit I've seen of it, and I think right now it's only on PS4 and it's on PC. But, yeah, this game is, like, this should definitely be on the Wii. I think this would be their bread and butter. It'd be a really awesome game for them to acquire.
You know, I think you're right, because I think
and it's not, like, system intensive. I feel like a port could be done pretty easily.
I think that this would really resonate with the Splatoon crowd. Like,
yeah.
The people who really get into that game, I think, would probably get really into... oh, my God. The name just completely slipped my mind. Rocket League.
Yeah.
Oh, the Fire Emblem Awakening. There's Conquest and there's Birthright. That's the name of the other one.
Okay.
Came to me. Yeah. Because I was trying to think of Rocket League, so Birthright.
So Birthright means defend.
Yeah, Birthright means defend. Well, it's the story setup. So your main character is this young prince who was kidnapped from one kingdom, the White Kingdom, and by the Black Kingdom. God, just totally playing up on those sort of light and dark stereotypes, but. So he's kidnapped by the one to the other, raised in the Dark Kingdom, and they you know, treat him like he's part of their family. Not really sure why they kidnapped him in the first place. I'm sure that has something to do with the story.
Mm-hmm.
But then the Dark Kingdom invades the Light Kingdom, and he sort of, and that's when he learns that he was actually kidnapped, and those are his blood relatives.
Mm-hmm.
So if you choose to take the side of your blood relatives, that's the Birthright.
And then
if you choose to stay with your adopted family, your abductive family, then that's the conquest path.
I see.
So, we mentioned Splatoon a second ago. There's an update for Splatoon coming in a couple of days here. So it's a free update. It's got a bunch of content. It adds a bunch of stuff, like an 8-player. It feels really weird to say this, but sort of an 8-player LAN.
So
you don't connect your consoles LAN, like there's no hard wire to connect them up to each other, but you can connect up to 8 consoles locally through an internet connection to set up customizable tournaments.
Whoa, that's pretty sweet.
So you can, like, if you have a house and you can fill it with 8 TVs, you can have 8 people all in your house playing in a tournament together.
Mm-hmm.
It's
that
pretty cool.
That should happen, though.
Yeah.
Something that really...
Yeah, because why? Because what? I mean, if I had the setup to do this, I probably would.
Everybody bring your TVs.
Yes, everyone bring your Wii U's and your TVs with you. But yeah, it's still cool that, you know, it's cool that they're putting the effort into that game to where that's something you can do if you have the ability to do it. Also, you can set up private battles over the internet, which is, you know, set up battles for your friends only. There's squad battles coming, which is when you enter a random match in... Splatoon, you're matched up with random people, and if you choose to stay with the same people, it will switch up the teams. If you set up a squad battle, you can set up your team and continue to play with your team against other people's squads or a bunch of other random people. So it allows you to keep your team together, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
The level cap is being raised from 20 to 50, which is something that I'll never do.
Yeah, that's a pretty substantial increase.
I'm
more than doubling.
I think I'm at level 16 right now. And I actually haven't played the game in a few weeks because I got sucked into some other stuff in the 3DS and into Earthbound Beginnings as well. So, yeah, level 50 just isn't fucking happening.
Yeah.
And it's actually, it's not like I have a whole lot of other options to play on my Wii U right now other than Splatoon or what I download from the eShop.
Mm.
That's not really a joke about the lack of games coming out. That's more of a joke about how my 1-year-old broke my Wii U.
Oh.
I can't, the disc drive. Yeah, Splatoon can't come out now. I'm going to have to send it back to Nintendo to have it fixed. Yeah, she tried to, like, shove something in it or something, and now, yeah, the disc won't come out.
Mm.
So I can't play anything else if I wanted to.
Yeah.
So There's also some new weapons. One's called the Slosher, I believe, and it's a bucket. So you like, take your bucket and you can fling it at people.
Oh, okay.
Like, with the ink so contents inside. Is it
a shotgun mechanism?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
It's supposed to have a little bit more range than, say, if like you're doing the same thing with like a paintbrush, just kind of flinging paint around.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine it's a little bit more powerful as well. But there's also a Gatling gun weapon. Yeah. So yeah, lots of rapid fire. Probably inaccurate, but still looks pretty cool. 40 more pieces of gear. There's also a new range blaster and the ink brush. There's a new ink brush out now. So yeah, lots of more new stuff coming to Splatoon. They're keeping the content rolling. They don't seem to have any signs of slowing down. So
that's good.
Yeah, the game's become a pretty substantial package.
Nice.
Nintendo TV is shutting down.
I don't know what that is.
So on the Wii U, there's this feature that isn't going to be going away.
Okay.
So it was something that they talked a lot about back in like 2012 in their E3 presentation. But basically, it compiles all of the programming that's available on various services and allows you to browse it all at once. So if you have Netflix and Hulu on your Wii U, and also certain like cable companies, cable boxes are supported as well. So it would allow you to like search, I want to watch Goonies. Mm-hmm. And it will tell you like, okay, well, Goonies is available here, here, and on this channel at this time, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So it's a pretty neat idea, but
why is it just not being used? Is it
no one uses it. I mean,
you know, the same thing. You just go ahead. And...
I think I don't even have cable anymore. I think that's sort of a general trend where people are ditching cable for more sort of on-demand services like Netflix and Hulu and HBO Go and Showtime Anywhere. And,
well, I just started using Sling TV. Uh-huh. I'm not trying to advertise it or anything. I think it's okay.
No, please do. I think that they should sponsor us.
It's $20 a month is what you're paying for. And you get about 15 channels. And mm-hmm. you get the core channels that people tend to do bulk viewing of. So you get like ESPN, ESPN2. Mm-hmm. You get like, I'm trying to think, Cartoon Network. TNT for basketball, like a dozen or so channels. And it's sort of, if you don't want to pay the how giant cost of a cable package,
mm-hmm.
you can get a stripped down thing and just, you know, watch the channels that you probably spent the bulk of your time actually with.
I think
I enjoy it. And it streams 1080, so it's
I nice. Think that's sort of the direction that we're heading with TV. And TV, you know, TV is a little bit slower to change than some other things because these cable companies and networks are really sort of entrenched in the way they do things, but
yeah.
sort of like more picking and choosing what you want because, like you just said, there when we had cable, there were select channels that we watched a lot.
I think it's
like,
going to be a lot of the sports. Mm-hmm. That's really going to be the nail in the coffin for them.
Yeah.
It's the what NFL Live is they're doing their package. They just announced the prices for it. MLB does a game of the day for free streaming, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool. If you just want to watch some baseball, they'll give you a game.
They also do
stream in its entirety.
They also do MLB. I think it's called MLB TV. And there's
that's
other,
the one.
Yeah.
And you can also get a radio broadcast too. Mm-hmm. If you just want audio, you can do home and away. So
I think they also do like not just the free one, but like if you subscribe and uh-huh. actually put some like I don't remember how much it is, but it's like a yearly amount, and you can watch any game.
If I remember correctly, too, it was super cheap. They did I forget what the timing was, but I think it was halfway through the season. They did like a big steep discount, so you could get the rest of the MLB season. And then the postseason too, any game you wanted.
Nice.
And the NBA does it now. It's like, yeah, I just don't think that it's going to have the stranglehold it used to.
Right, right.
Oh, and the thing that I want to bring up, I was going to talk about the obsolescence of that, was Google News. Google used to do this thing called Google News, which was their...
Never heard of it.
It was amazing, and I loved it so much. I would spend so much time on it. It was sort of like Reddit if it wasn't populated by... kind of obnoxious. Yeah, thank you. And you know, Reddit is great at what it does, but Google News was just this perfect funnel of information. They were really good at capturing whatever the relevant topic was. Like, it would be, you know, now like that Cecil the Lion thing or whatever, you know, Ronda Rousey. You haven't paid anything attention to anything that's happened.
Oh, is that the guy that went out there wanted to hunt a lion?
Yeah, one of our dentists killed a lion.
What a fucking dick. What a fucking asshole.
Yep. But at any rate, that's a thing that happened that there would probably be a lot of links to.
Uh-huh. We also do not condone hunting endangered species.
I think it depends which ones.
I mean,
What about non-endangered species like mosquitoes? I would be so
I think we can hunt mosquitoes.
If mosquitoes were all
I think, on. I don't, I mean...
Love bugs?
I generally don't condone hunting. It's just mean. But things like mosquitoes and love, yeah, fuck them.
Yeah.
There's tons of them out there.
I think there's... Well, it's also that one hits close to home because they're mammals and we're mammals.
Yeah.
So it really, it seems, you know, like you're kind of crossing a line there when you take it to one. Just for sport.
Right.
You want to... You want to kill a bird or something, have at it.
Yeah, see, I don't mind that at all. And so, like, I think there's also a sort of disconnect when it's domesticated. Yeah. Like, if someone's going out and, like, hunting a deer, like, come on, give the deer a chance. Like, give him a gun, too.
Yeah, that's true.
But, like, taking a cow to a slaughterhouse, I mean, I don't even question it. It's like,
that's
yeah,
true. Hey,
sure.
You know, we need leather belts.
Yeah. As long as you're not like keeping them tied up as babies and then
are we taking a stand? Is that what we're doing right now?
I think we might be. I just generally don't eat babies. Like,
I think that's wrong too.
Yeah,
you know,
they're horribly mistreated. Mm-hmm. Let them live a full life before we execute them.
I agree wholeheartedly. It's a real problem America needs to address.
So,
We're talking about Nintendo.
Okay. Nintendo and DigiPen are launching DigiPen Game Studios as a partnership to sort of foster development on the 3DS, help smaller game developers get their projects onto the platform. Pretty cool. It's also interesting that the most interesting thing to me is that they're doing sort of something to foster development on the 3DS, which is a platform that will be 5 years old. It'll be 5 years old, like, next March. So it's, like, 4.5 years old now.
Wow.
But, I mean, it's, I want to believe that this means that their next platform will be a dedicated console and not a console handheld hybrid, for my own personal reasons, but we'll see. We'll see what comes with this. Sega has apologized for making shit games.
Really?
Yes.
That's it?
Apology accepted. Don't ever do it again.
Okay.
They pretty much, again, I'm paraphrasing here, they put out a statement saying, like, hey, we want to learn from other developers. They specifically mentioned Atlus, who is now a part of Sega. We want to learn from this other company that making quality games is better than making garbage. Because Atlus, like, I think there's a reason they went with this example, because Atlus makes... So quality games that are polished and well-designed, don't really sell a whole lot. But they have a really dedicated fan base who really likes their stuff.
Yeah.
So I think what Sega is trying to say is that it's better to make really quality products that maybe not be the most technically ambitious, but something that pleases the crowd and something that they can be proud of rather than making... something that they try to highly market that's just a complete steaming pile of shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I
was thinking about like maybe making a Star Fox game where you're actually in a fucking ship.
Yeah, maybe.
Wouldn't that be something?
Which they are. Not Sega, but Nintendo. But I think what they're generally...
Well, I'm thinking of Sonic. Excuse me.
Yes,
Sonic. I'm taking shots at the wrong team.
That's all right. I mean, Star Fox has taken his lumps too.
Yeah.
I think what they're... The broader strokes was they're aware that their most recent Sonic games were total garbage and they don't want to do it again. I mean, I'd be fine if they stepped away from Sonic and explored some other franchises that maybe
Tails?
Yeah, the Tails the game.
Yeah.
Well, like Streets of Rage, Panzer Dragoon, Shining Force, they got a lot of stuff that they could work with.
Yeah.
Phantasy Star, but it's just become all about Sonic.
Well, things that maybe there would be some appeal to, like things that they can kind of draw on fans of prior games.
Jet Set Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that kind of thing. But we'll see what happens. But for now, we'll forgive you, Sega. Just please stop.
Code Veronica 2?
That's Capcom. But those assholes...
But it came out on Dreamcast. That's how I remember playing.
Yeah, it's true. And there, finally, we'll just wrap up the news with this. There's a Smash Brothers update. It added community and regular tournament modes. You can post replays to YouTube. There's new Mii Fighter costumes. So, you know, they added some content here. It was pretty cool. Posting your replays to YouTube is an interesting idea.
I think that's a fantastic idea, because sometimes I go back and play Brawl, and I have all these old saved things, mm-hmm. and I maybe saved 15 fights total, but it was because something hilarious happened. Something fucking brilliant went down, and yes. I just, like, I want to go back and check it out. Like, and every time it's, like, a one random match where it was, like, four, me and three of my friends playing, and I got, like, 8 kills as Donkey Kong.
Nice.
It's just, like, charge-up punches galore and taunts everywhere.
I'm hoping that this is like kind of a step into the direction of just being able to stream games natively on the console without having sort of some sort of ridiculous setup.
Yeah.
I think they're kind of edging in that direction.
Oh, like Twitch or something?
Yeah, okay. Twitch or they're streaming on YouTube or whatever service they go with. I don't partake in watching that sort of thing. I find it much more interesting to play the games rather than watch someone else do it. But I understand that's something that people enjoy doing, so giving people the option
on a situational basis. Uh-huh. Like, I used to play a lot of StarCraft. And the thing about StarCraft is that
people are insanely good at it?
Well, it's not just that they're good at it, it's that you ultimately realize that most games are decided by a split-second decision. And it forces you to kind of just, like, peel your eyes open and stare at the screen and be constantly paranoid of a decision that you have to make at just the right time. Or you got to constantly be... It's as fun as the game is, it's a little stressful to play it a lot. So it's great watching people who are better than you do it and let them worry about the stress level of winning the fight. And you can just get to watch the game play out. I mean, and it's the same for, like, Dota. Also, that's the other thing, is like, sometimes I don't want to play a 45-minute game where I'm, again, constantly worried that I'm going to make a split-second decision that's going to ruin the game for the team. Mm.
So, I think on that note, that'll be enough for news.
Okay.
Let's take a quick break and then come back with some games.
Okie dokie.
I don't have a whole lot of notes about Twisted Tale of Spike McFang, but I do have some things I want to say about it. It is a game that was released in June 1994. It was developed by Red Company, which is now called Red Entertainment Company. They developed, they did some work on like the Fossil Fighter series on the DS and the 3DS. They did Sakura Wars on the Wii recently, some of the recent stuff. And it was published by Bulletproof Software, which is now Blue Planet Software. And they're a company that has had a lot of really close ties with the company that did Tetris. And I think they now do most of the publishing for Tetris titles. Mm-hmm. So that's their big bang right there. People seem to like Tetris. I think it's going to stick around for a while.
Yeah, you know, it's got some longevity. It's a simple game. People love to organize and stack and...
Sure.
You know, I love Russian music.
So, Spike McFang is actually a sequel to a game called Meikai Prince Dorobachin.
That's Dorobachin.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Dorobachin.
I've got my notes too here, apparently.
Okay. Apparently I can't read my own handwriting here. Yeah. That game was on the TurboGrafx-16, came out only in Japan. It was. Have you watched any of it?
No, I haven't. No.
It was. It's a side-scrolling action game.
Okay.
He has a gun, and it's not like Contra 3 where you just like shoot into infinity in front of you. He has a really limited range. You have to be right on top of enemies in order to actually shoot them with your gun. It looks really bad. The environments are all really bland. There's a lot of just negative space. I don't know if there is an actual hook to the game, what's actually fun about the game.
But how did we get from that to this? I'm not sure what your general perspective is on this game.
Please.
I think it's a very well-made game.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's sort of like this, what would you say? It's like a fun, light take on maybe like a Zelda Link to the Past.
Yeah, because it's a top-down action game. It's not as free roaming in any manner as a Zelda game. You're kind of set into this level, and honestly, I did not beat the first fucking boss. God damn that first boss.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to be structured in the same way as a Zelda game. It's more like a level to level kind of thing.
There's sort of a character building element to it, where you do get experience and you kind of level and get different special abilities and things like that.
Yeah, the big thing is it'll increase your HP and also your attacking power.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be able to do more damage to enemies and take more damage. And actually, your health in this game is sort of represented by tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
In the Japanese version, it was actually hearts. He was eating the hearts of of his fallen enemies, and that would increase his own health. But yeah,
well, he is a vampire.
He is a magician vampire.
Yeah.
And it's such a
The Venn diagram of those two?
Right. I feel like it might be pretty close.
Yeah.
But it's such a fun setup for a game because basically you're in this sort of training area. Like, the tutorial is just called a training area in this game. It's like Test Island or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to this place, kind of like a summer camp sort of setup, and this girl character, who apparently you know, comes in like, hey, the kingdom's been invaded, your parents are missing, we should go. And you're like, yeah we should. But first I'm going to do some training.
Yeah.
I just like, all right,
let's explore the grounds.
Yeah. She's like, you know, fuck you, I'm going to go without you.
We're probably going to be gone for a while, so that's...
there's no rush here.
Yeah.
But yeah, you go through this tutorial section, and then you're put... you're tasked with, like, recapturing your castle.
Mm-hmm.
Your main form of combat is melee. You're twirling your cape.
Yeah.
But it also punishes you for doing it too much.
Any Super Nintendo fan is well-versed in using the cape as a mechanism to kill an enemy.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yes, indeed. So, what did you think of the sort of... punishment for using it too much, for overspamming that attack, because you spin out and you get dizzy.
Mm-hmm.
So
I mean, it makes sense that they kind of want to keep you on rails to an extent. They don't want you, like, you ever seen someone play a game where they start fucking jumping with the character over and over again and it becomes obnoxious?
Yeah,
it kind of prevents you from just spamming buttons and just like attacking the controller with your fingers.
True.
And it sort of makes you think about the decisions you're making.
Yeah, you can also jump in this game, which To the best of my recollection, was not useful in any situation.
No.
There was no sort of like platforming or anything like that.
Or like things you can dodge? I don't recall trying to like jump
over. In the first castle there are some spikes that sort of shoot out of the floor. And you can make it timing based and just kind of wait for them to disappear.
Oh,
or you can jump over them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a little bit of utility there. But then your other mechanism for attack is a ranged attack, and you like sort of charge up your hat and you throw it,
mm-hmm.
which is a more powerful attack, but definitely much harder to aim.
Yeah.
There are times,
and you're not really like you're not using your actual teeth to rip people apart.
No.
Which is kind of a drawback. You would think that maybe they would.
He sort of adopts more of the magician qualities than he does the vampire.
Yeah,
he's not transforming into a bat or anything.
Again, that would be sweet if he could.
Yeah, he's out in broad daylight, and the castle has a moat, which I don't know if it's running water.
Maybe it's a translation thing. Maybe they meant to say homosexual. Somehow got turned into vampire. Yeah, he's the gay magician.
I think that both Japanese culture and our own in 1994 wasn't quite as progressive as to be able to just accept that sort of character. Could you imagine like going into a game store in 1994 and asking for the game, could I have the Twisted Tale of Spike McFang, the homosexual magician?
You don't think it would fly?
I don't think so. Not in 1994.
Yeah. Do you think it would today, though?
Oh, yeah. That'd be totally fine.
Yeah, I think so.
I think if we did Google the homosexual magician video game, we'd come up with something.
Yeah, that's true. Probably got plenty of short stories.
Yep. It's a dating simulator or something. So, It's pretty simple game. There's not a whole lot of complexity to it, which is no big deal. I mean, they do have the cards that you can use, and your cards are your sort of expendable items. You have HP restoring ones. You have ones that freeze time.
Some that I haven't gotten this far. It's saying you can summon angels and bats.
That must
invisibility.
The invisibility one I've seen.
Yeah. Power up partner.
No, those sort of summon attack ones I don't think I've gotten to yet. Mm. And like I mentioned before, I made it up to the first boss. And the first boss is a character, sort of like a cat-like character. Like there's mini versions of it throughout the first level. Mm-hmm. And she hops around and she's very hard to perform a melee attack on because she's always moving. And then when she stands still, she pulls out a baton and throws the baton, which is very good at running right into you. Yeah. That baton always seems to find you, and it takes away half of your displayed health. Mm-hmm. So I was at level 4 or 5 when I started taking her on, and I basically had like 4 tanks of health. And every time I got hit by a baton, it would take away half of one of those tanks. So you basically have 8 hits and you're dead. And it takes far more successful attacks on her to eat away all her health. So the first boss there is a bit of a bitch.
Well, this isn't the first time we've talked about this game, right? Like, we talked about this years ago when Carlos was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember he brought up that there was a specific point where it's a fantastic place to grind. Hmm. Where you can just rack up experience really, really quick on a certain boss. Or not boss, but a certain like enemy that spawns.
Hmm.
Does this ring a bell by any chance, this conversation?
No, I don't remember that conversation, but
it seemed like it was such a great idea to do that then. Just puts you 20 levels ahead of everything else. Puts you way ahead of the curve.
I'm trying to think of where that space could be, because it does take a lot to level up in this game.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain enemies scattered throughout the first level. They're basically big suits of armor, and they have a ball and chain, and they fling it at you.
Mm-hmm.
You can do quite a bit of damage to them by throwing your hat. So maybe he was talking about taking them on. There is one specific room where it's very easy to sort of hide behind a corridor and let the enemy sort of walk into your range, fling your hat, do a lot of damage, and then he walks back, and then he walks into your line of sight again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty easy place. It seems like it would be a pretty easy place to rack up some EXP. But they don't seem to pay out a whole lot. I feel like it would take quite a bit of time. Which, you know, and in some other situations, I think I'd be okay with, like if I were able to play this game not on an emulator. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing. I'm playing at an emulator on my computer because there's no other way
to... I think it's not in the Wii store.
No, this game I don't think is available in any other service other than if you were to like buy a used cartridge, which is upwards of like 40, 50 bucks for use, or if you download a ROM for an emulator, which, you know, we try not to condone too much criminal activity here.
That's true.
But, I mean, if you want to try this game, you don't pay 40 or 50 bucks for a cartridge.
Yeah.
Either way, whether you're getting a used cartridge from someone on Amazon or downloading an emulator, the developer of this game is never going to see a dime of that money.
It's true.
So...
Oh, God, there's actually... I can't think of the name of it. It was Castlevania. It was made by some of the developers of Castlevania, and the game sells for about $300 on Super Nintendo.
Oh.
Because it was, I believe, only released through Blockbuster.
Dracula X?
That might be it.
Is that the one?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're...
Yeah. But that was the thing. It made this incredible rarity for it, because if you were lucky enough to have a cartridge of it, it's probably beat to shit, because it was a rental that was used by a ton of people.
Yeah. But yeah, it's the same situation. I'm not sure if there's some sort of like licensing issue. I mean, both of these, both the developer and the publisher are still around. They're not really prolific, but they exist. I'm not sure what the big obstacle would be to putting it on some sort of digital service, whether it be on the Wii or, you know, through some other service. But it's an interesting piece of...
Oh, my God, yeah. This is, well, at least the Blue Planet software. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think you mentioned it earlier. That's the most recent thing they've done is the 2011 Facebook Tetris game.
Nice.
So that's...
So they're along. I'm sure they're still banking on that.
Yeah. Or maybe Red Company sent to something.
I mean, it's an interesting game. It's got a cool setup. I mean, sort of like artistically and critically speaking, there's nothing sort of super special about it. the way you...
Well, it's not breaking the mold, but they do it well. Like, mm-hmm. Very clean animation. It looks good.
Yeah, it's a nice-looking game. Everything's really...
Your character is never lost on the screen. You kind of know where you are.
Everything's really responsive. Even in the first level, sort of a castle stage, they do a good job of kind of keeping a variety of areas or sort of rooms in that game, because you know, start off by the moat, and then you're inside the castle, and it kind of like brings you to like the exterior outside of the castle. You're moving outside a little bit. Mm-hmm. Then you're sort of like in the attic. You're walking up in some rafters. You take on a spider. So, you know, they do a good job of sort of mixing up the environments and what's visually happening in the game. But nothing really to mix up what you're actually doing. You're still just going at enemies, using the same techniques, you know, spinning your cape, tossing your hat. That really hasn't seemed to evolve. But again, I've only made it to the first boss. Maybe it's not entirely fair.
Yeah.
So.
I don't think it's going to get to that, like, Link to the Past complexity. No, where you can have a, 8x8 grid of items that you can use and... I think that it's supposed to be a little more action, a little more...
Right. And in my research about this game, I did find that the only really set of gear that you upgrade is your hat. And then you can buy different sort of cards. But you upgrade your hat, and I think there's 4 different hats that you can wear.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think this game is particularly long either. From, you know, the tutorial stage when they were talking about like, oh, well, this country's been invaded and the king of this has disappeared. I think there might only be maybe 4 or 5 different areas that you visit, which I think would be fine. Mm-hmm. I don't think this game needs to overstay its welcome. But it's a pretty cool little game. It'd be cool if it were available to download on a virtual console service, because those specific parts, like where Carlos had mentioned, where, you know, there are spots where you can grind for experience and gain an advantage against the upcoming boss. It'd be great to be able to do like sort of off TV, like on a Wii U gamepad, have something else going on in the background. That's what I did in Earthbound Zero when I had to do a lot of grinding, is I would just have a movie playing in the background and run back and forth and set my auto battle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it feels false, kind of, when you're playing these on emulators. It's still, I mean, even if it's going to be on a Wii, it still feels natural to play it on a console with a controller. I long for that when I'm playing these old games. And I know you can get a controller for a PC. Like, that's not a big deal. But it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like it's the same thing. So, we should just go ahead and have everything that they've ever made.
Yeah.
Please.
Just release every game ever made right now.
Yep. That would make me happy.
So, should we move over to Street Fighter?
Yeah, let's do it.
Street Fighter II, The New Challengers.
Yeah, so this, again, came out in June 1994.
Indeed.
If you wanted to get a cartridge of it, it's pretty modest. It's not too bad. It's 15 to 20 bucks.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about Street Fighter, you kind of talk about where you are in the release of all of these. And what they had done before New Challengers is they had released Turbo Hyper Fighting, which is basically the game on crack. It's so fast. It's just blisteringly fast. And they actually, for this New Challengers, where they introduce 4 new characters, what they're also doing is taking that back. They're actually going to pull away all of the Turbo and Hyper Fighting stuff. So the version that you're going to play feels like World Warriors, the very first version they made. So, you're not, I mean, and they, what they're ultimately going to do, maybe this was their plan to make a little more money, is a little bit further down the line, they're going to release New Challengers Turbo. So, yeah, it's another add-on to it. And it's not to say that it's, I don't know, when I play, I'm comfortable with the World Warriors speed.
Uh-huh.
So when I kick onto Turbo, things just move a little too fast for my blood. So,
It's interesting that they didn't, just like give you the option between a normal mode and a turbo mode. I mean, it's funny that these games, there was no way in hell that they came out on a discounted price. I bet anything that came out 50, 60 bucks a piece.
Yeah.
All 3 Street Fighter games. And it kind of puts things into perspective, because I think right now there's a little bit of controversy that kind of hovers around the Street Fighter series, because they release a game and there's characters that are either on disc that are unlocked by paying money, or they release downloadable characters that it seems like should have been part of the package in the first place. And that's sort of the what's perceived as unethical.
Nickel and diming your customer.
Yeah.
Trying to take a little bit out of them.
Right. But if you want to play Street Fighter 2, but you want to play it at a higher speed, $60.
Yeah.
Go buy another copy.
That's true. Well, a good thing that they did, maybe making amends for what they did down the line, is they released a 20-something anniversary copy, which is great because it did basically everything, I think up until Alpha 3,
mm-hmm.
were all available to play, and you could play across platforms.
So oh, nice.
You could play, I think, different versions of them. And it was basically built into it where you could play the oldest way possible or the newest way possible. You could play a turbo against the non-turbo, things like that.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
but do you want to get at like what this one specifically is? What new challengers is all about?
Let's talk about those titular new calendars. New calendars. God damn it. I'm looking at a calendar of release dates right now. New challengers.
Yes. So new challengers, right? So you're getting the original eight that you got from the first incarnation of Street Fighter II.
Right.
And they're perfect and they're flawless and every one of them is a beautiful, unique flower. They are fantastic.
Do you get the bosses?
You get the bosses as well, which was something that they didn't give you initially with with World Wars.
Yeah, you got that in Turbo.
Yeah.
That was the other part of the $60 package.
Yeah.
You get those four characters.
So then on top of that, they're introducing four new playable characters who I think are great additions. Maybe one is kind of a little bit of a fluff, but I think they're all pretty awesome. You're getting Cammy, mm-hmm. who is this British special agent woman. And she's awesome. She plays a ton like Vega, and Vega's one of my favorite characters, so I like these really quick, mean striker types. They also introduce Fei Long, who is a Hong Kong film star that looks a hell of a lot like Bruce Lee.
Hmm.
So that's kind of... I don't know if that's maybe giving some fan service to the Easterners, where maybe they kind of like this, but it seems like he's a pretty, pretty straight-ahead kind of ripoff of what Bruce Lee is, you know? Shirtless with the black pants, just kind of doing his kicks and making his squeals. Not my favorite character. I don't play with him much.
Seems a little bit vanilla.
Yeah. I mean, kind of like, he was the main guy from the Mortal Kombat series. If anything, it feels like
there's... Liu Kang?
Yeah, it's like a Liu Kang or something.
Yeah.
There's also T-Hawk, which is an American Indian, which is a mm-hmm. really cool addition. And he's sort of a grappler. I guess you could compare him maybe to like a Zangief. There's a lot of really awesome throws and these crazy attacks. And the last one is a really, I think, a unique fighter in the whole series, DJ, who is a Jamaican kickboxer. Nobody plays like him at all. He's got his own style. Really versatile and fun to play with and weird to play against because you kind of don't know what's going on with them most of the time. So I think they probably felt like it was time to give you some new characters.
Yeah.
Maybe mix up the formula a little bit. I think that they probably did this as sort of a balancing thing. And not only did they actually changed the other characters too. So I think it was this generation that made it so that Ryu can do his spin kick in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So you can jump up with it and then use it to move forward. So it gives you a little more aerial advantage when it comes to a fight. I'm trying to think of all the other crazy things they did. They introduced all sorts of stuff. The new additions, things that make this, is that there's, like, special actions now have more meaning, not just on points, but just the way the battle goes. So, like, throws, reversals, you know, you actually have a combo tracker that keeps track of your hits. You could combo in World Warriors, but it never really addressed it as comboing. It was sort of like you're locking an opponent in an animation, and you're just holding him in it. Now they're, like, aware that this is called combos in tournament fighters. You're doing a 2D fighter. When you chain together attacks, you're comboing.
Mm-hmm.
So they just, this is the first time they've overtly addressed it as such.
That's kind of cool that, you know, I imagine that didn't like come from like them sitting around a developer's meeting like, yeah, we should call this something. It probably was something that evolved from the community that was playing it.
Yeah.
And they mm-hmm. became aware that, okay, the community is playing this game this way. We should address that this is the way that is being played in the next incarnation.
Yeah. So, that's really all I had about the new additions to the game. I think just this...
Were there any new stages?
Yeah, I mean, each of them got a new level.
Yeah.
Like, all the four characters got their own levels. I'm trying to think of, like, DJ plays behind... DJ and T-Hawk play behind crowds that are fitting for who they are, kind of like what Blanca's or Guile's stage would be like.
Yeah.
Fei Long, I think he's in like this very quiet, serene environment. And Cammy, I don't know. Is she in the rafters or something?
Like winds of blowing grass for Faelong.
Something like that. But, I mean, again, that's another thing. These games have beautiful backgrounds.
Yeah.
That's something that this game has never lost sight of, is that you can sometimes just get kind of distracted in a fight looking at something really cool that's happening in the background, or just the attention to detail that's always there. It's just really sharp, really vivid. It looks good and it feels good. It's a great game to play. It's very crisp. The controls are tight. It's responsive. It feels comfortable. You're getting used to the characters. If you played World Warriors, playing this version with any of the characters you're familiar with makes sense. It feels right. And their balance is great. Like, they... Because I have a bunch of other fighters I was going to talk about, because a ton of fighters came out around this era. And every single one of them is just a reminder of... Not necessarily that they're ripping off Street Fighter, just how...
inferior they are.
Yeah, like just how they failed to get all the nuance, the details. It's the little things that make a game shine. And there's a reason why this is unparalleled, certainly when it came out, and is still like the benchmark, the measure at which they're all kind of set.
The only our sort of discussion calendar for games that I'm interested in talking about over the next several months for Super Nintendo, the only other fighting game I have on here is Mortal Kombat 2. The only reason I have it up is so that we can shit on it some more.
Well, that's the thing. Like I brought a bunch of games here, and I included about half of them.
Uh-huh.
One I really want to rip on. The rest of them, please, I think are okay, or maybe have something about them. I save the other half for when we talk about that. When we really get into the bottom of the barrel, the ugliest and nastiest 2D fighters, because I didn't even realize just how many there were. There's dozens that came out from like 93 to 95. And they're going to be great to talk about. I at least want to talk about the ones that... and most of these are kind of Street Fighter clones. But ones that actually took something.
Cool.
They saw how a good game is built, and they're like, we're going to build a good game too.
Let's do it. Yep. I'm ready.
First, and this is the worst one that I could possibly talk about, is Double Dragon 5, The Shadow Falls.
How did we get to 5 so quickly? What happened here?
Well, here's the thing, and this is what pissed a lot of people off, is that, and this came out in July 1994, the month after Street Fighter came out.
Mm-hmm.
And they've just shown off this gorgeous game with this beautiful, robust roster. And Double Dragon decides they, rather than doing their side-scrolling brawler, which was their trademark, the thing that they kind of helped build, they decided they are going to copy this format and do a tournament 2D fighter. You get...
Interesting approach.
You get Billy and Jimmy.
Notorious for being interchangeable.
Name a third character.
Billy and Jimmy and Mike.
Oh, there is a Mike?
I don't fucking know.
Okay, yeah. Here's the thing. This was a short-lived... This is a tie-in to a TV show that didn't last past a season.
Oh!
So they included all of these characters that
I remember this
knew.
TV show.
You do? Oh, well, yeah. This is a shameless...
There's a guy with, like, a cybernetic arm. And, I don't know. There's probably a black guy.
Do you remember much about... Okay, well...
No, I don't remember much about the show other than it existed.
Well, how would you feel... And someone brought this up because they were talking about Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles made a fighting game.
Yeah.
And in the past, they did kind of like what Double Dragon did, where they did side-scrolling brawlers. And when the Turtles made their fighter, they addressed it as such. They called it like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighter.
Right.
They didn't make it Turtles 4.
Right.
Like, imagine if the last game you played was Turtles in Time, and you're like, oh, they made a sequel to Turtles in Time? And then you get this game, and it's bullshit or garbage. Or not what, just not what you were expecting.
Like, yeah, you're renting a game. You're an 8-year-old. You're renting a game for a weekend. And you were only allowed to rent one game. And you're like, oh, I love Double Dragon because you have terrible taste. Yeah. But you wrote Double Dragon 5. This is awesome. You take it home and, you realize that this is a stupid game to have to play by yourself.
Yeah. And by the way, full of with a roster of unimaginative, boring characters. This game is clunky as hell. Every one of these games I'm talking about, by the way, I did track down an emulator and I at least clocked a few minutes on just to at least get a feel for it. And Double Dragon was the one that just instantly made me cringe.
Those games have never felt right to me.
Yeah.
Like, it's they've always felt really sluggish and unresponsive. I don't know. It's, Double Dragon games have never felt good to play.
Yeah. I think they're just living off of the past success. Like, they just... It's like they developed the perfect way to just shit all over something good that you made. Like, you did one thing right, and then you just ruined the rest of it. And then we did it so many times over and over again and just failed to get it right. And you're on your fifth installment in the series, and like, when's the last time one of them was any good?
Get it together.
Ugh. Okay. Next one is Clay Fighters. Do you remember Clay Fighters?
I remember Clay Fighters, yes.
Clay Fighters came out a month before Street Fighter did. It came out in May 1994.
Yeah, there's a reason I didn't put it on the list.
Yeah.
Because I think this is a game that built its reputation entirely through being silly.
Which precisely it is. I think the idea is that it is a asteroid from space carrying some sort of alien menace crashes into a a circus.
Yeah.
And you're basically like gotta stop them. It's $5, by the way, if anyone wants to get an actual cartridge. This thing is dirt cheap.
You shouldn't, though.
Yeah, and the thing that it's probably more remembered for is the style and the humor, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, it had all the fun characters, like the Blob and... like
the cloud Elvis, and like the snowman.
Yeah.
And
the thing is that it was also very violent. It got away with a lot of sneaky violence where you could like decapitate people and things like that in a time when the Super Nintendo was not really doing that.
Right.
Well, did it ever really? I don't think so.
I mean, right. Donkey Kong Country 3.
Yeah.
There's a lot of decapitations.
Yeah. Are there?
No.
I don't think there's any.
No. Not even a little bit.
I mean, maybe in the hidden levels. maybe King K. Rool gets it.
Things got real weird at Rare.
Though, no, there is that part where Cranky Kong puts a shotgun into the mouth of an alligator and pulls it
out. Oh, it makes King R. Rool like, bite the curb and then kicks... Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, his teeth hit the screen, too. It's visceral. Okay. Moving on. And Clay Fighter is not a great game, but it's someone that has a seat at the table. And it was released a month before this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a thing. Fighter's History. So, this is a...
Wait, that was the title of a game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Called Fighter's History. This is Data East made it. And this came out in July.
Oh, Data East. Oh, my God.
94.
Those guys.
Yeah? Did they wrong you in some way, or do you have anything?
Let me pull up a gameography, so to speak, while you continue.
A list of mistakes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is it's about as bland a Street Fighter clone as you can imagine. This game was boring as hell to play. I didn't like it at all. And it has this weird thing where it feels like it's definitely an Eastern game, because if you were to look at all of the characters you can play in the roster of this 2D fighter... It's like everybody that is supposed to be like an Eastern fighter that's like from China or Japan or whatever, they look like these awesome, badass, stoic warriors. Everybody in the West, which would be like England and America, look like drug addicts. They look like they're all just like a bunch of like strung out assholes trying to fight. They all like look like skeletons. And it so clearly seems to favor the Eastern noble warrior that it's kind of a... I mean, it feels like kind of an insult, maybe. Yeah, there is only one good thing you can say about this game. It has really nice backgrounds. It has really, really attractive backgrounds if you want, like, a desktop image. Then maybe they're actually pretty close to delivering kind of what you get in those Street Fighter levels, where there's just a lot of cool detail. The fighting itself couldn't be any more boring.
So Data East... just give us some context. They did our favorite, Captain America and the Avengers.
Oh, wow.
For the Super Nintendo. a couple of RoboCop games. And this is across multiple platforms, not just Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
They did Lemmings. They did an arcade prototype version of Lemmings.
Mm-hmm.
You just mentioned Fighter's History. Dragon's Lair. I think they just published or localized that one. But just a lot of like the Captain Caveman, not Captain Caveman, just like Caveman games.
Mm-hmm. Once again, I'm going to grab a beer.
Yeah, do your thing. Just a whole lot of garbage. Bad Dudes versus Dragon Ninja, which I'm sure is exactly as good as it sounds. Just a company that does a whole lot of garbage. Oh, God. Let me make sure this is the right game before I go through. Yeah. You remember that, remember Shadowrun we talked about a little while back?
Shadowrun.
It was supposed to be like this RPG, but you're in this like sort of post-apocalyptic Blade Runner type future, and you're this guy running around and you interact with things in your environment.
Oh,
and
no matter I remember that. Like the guys were shooting out of the window or
right.
something.
And you have no fucking idea where you're supposed to go. Yeah, they did that piece of shit as well.
Okay. Yeah, so this they've got a track record that says that they're kind of an embarrassment.
Yep, sure do. All
right. So yeah, this is a really awful game. Truly, it's the backgrounds are beautiful. If you had them in rotation on your desktop on a computer, you would probably be pretty thrilled about it. There's nothing else rewarding or redeeming about it at all, including its generic name, Fighter's History. Okay. Here's one that I actually really liked a lot. But it kind of gets a little stunted. It's Fatal Fury Special.
Fighter's History makes it sound like it's historical figures fighting each other.
They kind of are, I guess.
Here's like Gandhi and Thomas Jefferson.
No, it's not that awesome.
Opposing slavery in principle, but really?
Oh, that would be great. Maybe all of Gandhi's moves are you harming yourself? They're like failing to hit you.
I think we're now in the developer's room. I think we're getting really into design here. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Can you think of another historical figure? Napoleon.
Genghis Khan.
Genghis Khan, sure. He's just really
Alexander the Great would be awesome. Lincoln, you say?
Lincoln, Napoleon. He doesn't actually do any fighting himself. He just throws troop after troop at you. He's kind of like...
Pol Pot? You can get really mean with it. Just pick all the worst people ever.
All right, what's the next game?
Fatal Fury Special.
Oh, yes.
And this is...
Fatal Fury.
The thing that about it is it got a release July 1994. It's $10, and this is a great $10 to spend. I think this is a good game. But here's the thing. This game is already a year behind because it originally came out in 93 on the Neo Geo. So we're getting an older port of a game, essentially. Or maybe it was also in arcades, but we're getting this way down the line. Of when everyone else got a hold of this. And the thing that's great, this has, you know, the new challengers, there's 16 playable characters. This one has 15, so it's almost as many. And if you played a Fatal Fury game, you know that it's tight mechanics, good animations, like you like the characters. It's just a good franchise. Fatal Fury, they do it right. This one introduces a line mechanic, which is certainly not in Street Fighter games, where you can basically move on like a rail up or down.
Okay.
So like rather than being on just like this one pure line, you actually have a sort of a platform.
This is sort of like a second plane to move around on.
Which you can use to parry and dodge, or you can use to launch attacks. It makes for interesting gameplay.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think it's a good game, genuinely good game. Next, if you want some more generic titles, how's about World Heroes 2?
Good. Very good.
This is actually another SNK one, and this is something that they should actually be kind of ashamed of. Because it is a really, really bland ripoff of Street Fighter 2.
They have the blonde military guy and everything.
Precisely, yeah. No, I mean, they have Hanzo, I think, who is your main guy, who is Ryu, who does a fireball and an uppercut and a spin kick. He has a red-geed alternative, Kotaro.
Oh my goodness.
Who does the exact same thing he does.
Good for them.
Brocken, who is the austere like military guy, who is basically your Bison. This game looks, plays, it wants so badly to be Street Fighter, but then it's like Coca-Cola, to use that analogy again, it's Coca-Cola and there's RC Cola. This is RC Cola. You know, it's almost that thing that you think you really want, but it's not. It's got some interesting characters, though. There's this guy, Mudman, who's a witch doctor. It's kind of a fun take on, like, a Dhalsim, I guess. Johnny Maximum is a football player, and he's in his actual gear and stuff. That's kind of fun. Captain Kidd's a pirate. It's interesting ideas for characters, but the game just sucks all around.
So does it? What does it fail to do? Like, is it just because it's such a blatant ripoff, or does it not, like, achieve the same, some sort of... depth to the mechanics or the balance that Street Fighter has?
It doesn't use a lot of the same combos, not combo systems, but like special stuff. So like quarter circle forward, the dragon punch maneuver, forward, down, down, forward.
Okay.
You just don't care. Like this, it just makes you constantly wonder why you're not playing Street Fighter. Hmm. It's just so beige and bland and derivative that you kind of just... I don't know. I go back and I play Street Fighter and I still feel like it's a crisp game where I learn stuff and I'm always interested about the matchups and the dynamic of the fights. And maybe if I clock hundreds and hundreds of hours playing World Hero 2, I would feel the same way, but the game
But
just...
why would you want to?
Exactly. Like, and where's World Hero 3? I don't... If it exists, I've never heard of it. I had never heard of World Hero 1, which in fact, they did make a World Hero 1. It wasn't so blatant a ripoff that they just wanted to name their thing 2. There is another game that this is based off of, and it looked pretty bad as well.
Really, so, I wonder if they were hoping to, like, just sell some copies on the cover art. Like, someone gets confused and thinks it's Street Fighter.
That's precisely what they're doing. Yeah, they just want to, you know, it's like when there's, like, the, if you're on, like, there's Farmville and there's, like, the farm thing. Like, oh, there's all these different farm clones, you know. They're just hoping that maybe you're some uninformed consumer that's buying a game for a kid. Your kid told you they wanted, you know, that fighting game, too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, obviously they wanted World Heroes, too, you know. So, it's just not a good... And this came out in July of 94, so it's a month after.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to move a little down the line.
Let's do it.
We're going to jump to a year ahead. This is a game we'll talk about maybe in a year. We can revisit it if you feel so inclined. Justice League Task Force. Have you heard of this one?
No, is it based on, like, Justice League, like, the DC... Goddamn, I can't fucking get this sentence out. DC
yes.
Comics?
It is their roster of fighters going head-to-head. And look at the dream team lineup of developers that made this happen. Acclaim, Sunsoft, and Blizzard.
Oh.
Yeah, no shit, Blizzard. You can get this game for about $10. And hey, you know, I think why not? This is, it's a bit of a clunky fighter, but it does deliver in the thing that it should, which is that you're, you know, cracking skulls with the Marvel, or with the DC Justice League lineup. So you get Superman, you get the Flash... Mm-hmm. You know, you get Batman, Wonder Woman, Green Arrow, trying to think, Aquaman's even in there. Yeah, you kind of get...
What are his attacks? What does Aquaman do?
Oh, what does he do? I'm trying to think. He has his trident.
Okay.
Yeah, it's...
Is it sort of a weapon-based fighter, or is it more of a...
You use weapons as, like, special attacks. Okay. So, like, you throw a batarang, you use laser eyes, I think, if you're Superman. Mm-hmm. The Flash has the lamest one where he kicks out this little dust cloud. It looks like a little tornado that goes at your opponent.
Oh, all right.
I think Wonder Woman uses her whip. Green Arrow, of course, uses arrows. It's kind of a... Yeah, I mean, it's not doing anything special aside from just kind of at least giving you the thing that you want, which is to beat each other up. You know, you and a friend beating each other up playing your favorite DC character. Let me see. Okay, I got... And really, the only thing is, it's kind of interesting to think that now the two big tournament fighter games are, like, Injustice, which is based off of the DC lineage, and then now, you know, which is in itself built off of Mortal Kombat, and then now Street Fighter, which Street Fighter's still not going anywhere.
Yeah. So do you have any more you want to bring up, or should we...
Two more.
Here we go. Home
and
stretch.
They're not really what you would think... and maybe I should save, I'll probably go into it a little more because I barely played any of it. It was such garbage. But there's another fighter, Shaq Fu.
Shaq Fu.
Yeah, so that's a thing.
Shaq Fu is a game that exists. Yes,
and when you played Hang Time or NBA Jam, they kind of robbed you of the opportunity to play as Shaquille O'Neal.
Right, you could not play as Shaquille O'Neal.
Who everybody wanted to play as.
You couldn't play, I think, until... NBA Jam Tournament Edition. I think you could play, which came out in 1995.
Yeah. So, this is a game that they made involving Shaquille O'Neal.
Yep.
You know what he's not doing?
Playing basketball.
He's not playing basketball.
Not even a little bit. No. No, he's beating up children, women, and old men.
Yeah, this is awful. Like, why would you do this? You completely... It would be like if you made a Wayne Gretzky game and didn't play hockey. You know? Like, why? I don't want to spend time with Shaquille O'Neal if he's not dunking a fucking basketball. Okay.
Do you want to play the Barry Bonds RPG?
Oh, God. Yeah, no. Okay. The other one is actually... this one came out in June of 1994. So I did want to talk about another game that came out in that time that was kind of popular. At least I feel like...
Although I do want to talk about the Mike Tyson dating sim.
All right, are you talking about that? Wait, that's also the pony breeding one that he has? That the same thing?
Right, Punch Out. That's the one. sorry, I'm done. I got no more.
Is Barkley Shut Up and Jam?
Okay,
was a June 1994 release. Again, it's not exactly what you want. At least you're playing basketball. Mm. You're as Charles Barkley playing basketball, but you're doing it with a bunch of like made up characters, not with any other like actual people that play basketball that you would know.
Right.
And it's just a kind of a bland, shameless clone of of NBA Jam in the same way that, you know, every other game I just mentioned is kind of ripping off Street Fighter.
So Shaq Fu, my older brother actually got really into like the sort of minutia of Shaq Fu and like tried to dissect these characters. And
oh, come on, seriously?
Yeah, there was one particular character, the mummy character. I think he was sort of the kind of final boss, kind of portrayed as the sort of final boss of the game. Mm. And he put a significant, like a higher than average amount of time into this game.
Yeah.
I never understood it. I couldn't understand what he saw in this game.
Well, I mean, I remember when in my youth, when I had that much free time, which I probably should have applied to something else, I played a lot of bad games, you know, and I would just clock tons and tons of hours playing shitty games. And I didn't realize they were shitty. I wasn't aware enough. I didn't have that discerning eye, but I, at the time, enjoyed it. So, you know, maybe that's what he was getting out of Shaq Fu.
Maybe. No. Maybe.
One last thing, and again, who knows, maybe in 2 years and 3 months we'll talk about this, but Street Fighter Alpha 2 was released for the Super Nintendo.
What was the 1996 that would be?
Yeah, the November of 96. It's a complete relaunch of kind of everything about...
And it came out for the Super Nintendo, huh?
Yeah, it did. And this was also really testing the boundaries of what the console could do. Mm. We talked about it off air. But I was saying like that it does this thing where when you start the match, it has to load everything before it can even start. So it'll go to fight, where you're expecting to jump or move your character, or shoot an attack or something, and then you wait 2 seconds for the game to actually catch up. It's like there's this 2 second lag where the game is just like loading the sound, I think. I read the description online about why exactly this occurs. And it's just that the system resources are so drained because of how much information is trying to be
played. Yeah, it's a little strange. Do you happen to know offhand what platforms it came out on? Was it just like the Super Nintendo, or did they also put it like on a...
I think it was an arcade game, too.
Yeah,
I don't really know where else it got ported to or what else it was on, but...
I mean, I suppose maybe they decided to also put on the Super Nintendo rather than the N64, which was out or very close to launch at that point. Maybe because of just the larger install base, had a chance of selling more copies.
But it's a great game too. It plays really smoothly once the game actually does start.
Hmm.
And they do a good job of mixing up the roster. So they don't have a lot of those familiar faces. Like they introduced Sakura. You get Rolento. I don't know if you remember Rolento from Final Fight 2. Do you remember the guy with the pole and the grenades?
Yes.
He's now a playable character in this. Same with, he is either called Sodom or Katana. From the first Final Fight. Remember the guy with the swords that two hits you?
That asshole.
Yeah, he is now a character in this as well. Yeah.
Side note, speaking of fighting games, I downloaded Streets of Rage 2 on the 3DS. I'll talk about that on a different show. But there is one particular boss character who is a wrestling character, much like the one in one of the Final Fight games, who is a total pain in the ass to deal with. I just thought it was an interesting... It's probably not a nod, but it might be more of a rip-off to Final Fight. But, you know, maybe they are paying a little bit of homage to the game that sort of birthed that genre, that sort of side-scrolling brawler genre. But it was just interesting that they have a wrestling character in a wrestling ring fighting you in Streets of Rage 2, much like in Final Fight. He's much easier to deal with, because Streets of Rage 2 does some stuff to sort of evolve the gameplay of a brawler. We'll get to that in a different show.
Yeah.
But yeah, where were we? Where did they cut you off?
No, I'm done, actually. Okay. That's really it.
Cool.
That's, like I said, and I picked the ones that I think are actually kind of fun to talk about or interesting novelties or ones that are pure clones of Street Fighter. When we get to Mortal Kombat, I'll be really bringing up some truly terrible games.
Very good. Right. Those are always the most fun to talk about.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, aside from Mortal Kombat 2 and the absolute garbage, there actually are quite a few good and interesting
Maximum
games.
Carnage?
Yep.
Nice.
Some good stuff to talk about over the next few months. So, Breath of Fire is one that I've talked about a little bit. I'll probably do some wrap-up thoughts on that one later this month for a Super Nintendo show.
Mm-hmm.
But like coming up in September, we got Illusion of Gaia and Maximum Carnage, Mortal Kombat 2, which will be a fun discussion.
Yeah.
In October, Final Fantasy VI, which is one of my favorite Final Fantasies, really tremendous games, Super Punch-Out, Earthworm Jim, in November, Donkey Kong Country, Demon's Crest, X-Men Mutant Apocalypse.
Damn, there's a ton of good games.
Yep. December, you know, Uniracers is a pretty silly little game. Wario's Woods, I'm not a fan of. The Lion King, you know, is a game that, you know, people have some fond memories of that one, but I haven't visited that one in quite a while. And at some point, we got to make some kind of talk about NBA Jam, because that one came out in 1994. So it's a game that
you just have an unknown release, but you know it's 94.
It's really tough to track down an exact like release window for when that game came out on consoles.
Yeah.
I've been able to find some more specific information about like arcades. That I think it came out in 1992 in arcades, but the console release date, it's really tough to find that information. But yeah, like the sort of second half of 1994. As well as like the second half of 1995, these are probably the biggest months for 1994 as well. So like 93, 94, 95 were the real peak of the Super Nintendo. So yeah, we got some interesting stuff coming up in the future.
I didn't even bring it up, and I don't know if it's one that we actually got here, but I mean, I saw that on the list that down the road we'll talk about the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers game.
Yep,
I'm actually a fan of. You know, I think I've tried to sell it on you guys before.
We have played far worse brawlers. Far worse.
Well, they realized how cool it is to fight as the big robots. Mm-hmm. At, you know, at the end, how there's just those two fights. They actually made a full fighting game built around that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, nice. It was way, way, way late in the life cycle of the Super Nintendo, but it's a fun game.
But yeah, we got some cool, interesting games to talk about coming up soon. But then we also got Pokemon to talk about next week. Actually, Wednesday. Is Wednesday still a good day for you?
Sure. Cool. Sounds good to me.
We'll talk some Pokemon.
Well, what are we going to be doing? Do you kind of...
Weston's going to be able to make it this time. So you just want to rank the fairy types?
Sounds good to me.
Cool. That'll be fun.
Can we also come up with a list of ones that we think should be fairies and aren't?
Yeah, that'd be fun too.
Delcatty, not a fairy? That makes sense to me.
That's a little weird.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. Anyone else come to mind immediately? I'm trying to think. Like Lickitung, is he a fairy now?
No.
I think it was kind of based on its color. Is that racist? That might be racist.
A little bit. Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's licking constantly. It's like Smoochum. You know, it's Smoochum. Mm. It's just kissing everything. It's a little weird.
A Smoochum is a psychic.
Yeah.
Not
and
a fairy.
Ice, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, psychic ice for Smoochum and Jinx. True. But
let's can this material.
But yeah, and also, you know, we were gonna skip the draft this week because Wes isn't gonna be here. But Wes has almost completely bailed on the Eevee 6th gen run through, and I am real close to that point too. It's getting so damn easy.
I mean there is zero challenge to it. If anything, I think that we maybe could try to do the 6th gen a different way.
Maybe turn off.
I mean, because like I just beat the 8th gym, and you know all my guys are like level 70. So
maybe we do turn off that experience share just to or maybe.
Well, and I'm just burned out on playing with fucking Flareons.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, like I feel like half the game, all I've been doing is Fire Fang or Bite, and it really is a fucking pain. Because I feel like there's so much more stuff you can do in this game than just play as these Eevees.
Yeah, let's move on.
There's no challenge.
Let's move on with our lives. So I think the idea that we've been kicking around, and we probably won't address this the next show, will be the September show, September Pokemon show. But running through the 6th gen, but not starting off with a particular team, rather going through route by route and having a draft of who's picking what from the front.
I like that idea.
And if the route allows... picking 6th gen Pokemon is mandatory if there's one available, and then also person who picks first also eliminates one, person who picks second also eliminates one, to really just try to screw over the third pick of the draft
You can make it fair too, or it's just like you could do it alphabetical, like not to really shit on Wes, but like JRW just constantly go in order. So you get the first route, I get the second, Wes gets the third, and then so on.
Right.
It's not like there has to be like some means of figuring out who gets first pick on the route. It could just be real simple.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that way everyone's also getting a first pick somewhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe build up a little bit of karma. Like, you screwed me over on this route, so guess what? Now you have to use the first route.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Good luck with that.
And by the way, I do have the next game of the... I got it ready. It's in the tank. I was so pumped to do it.
Very good.
It's so much better being the one that does the questions and not the one that has to answer them.
It is a lot more fun to host. And I don't say that because I've lost every fucking time. Lost or tied. I've never won.
You really haven't won yet?
I've never won.
Oh, no. Man.
I think I've lost to you twice and I tied... No.
You tied me once, the most bullshit tie in the history of
everything. I tied with you and then I lost to you and then I've lost to Wes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is your chance.
Yep.
This is your chance to shine.
I fucking invented the game.
Get revenge. And you guys are the first that are going to have to read some really nasty slash fiction about Pokemon too. So
nice.
So be ready.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Whoever loses.
So that show... That'll be in September because Wes isn't going to be able to make it this time. But that's all right. We'll catch up with it. Next week will be the rankings and then also who should be a fairy type. After that, we'll do a mini show to talk about some random games. I got a bunch to talk about. And then we're going to have to figure out... we'll have to do some finagling to figure out a schedule because I'm going to be gone from the 10th to the 15th. So we'll work something out.
Okay.
But yeah, till next time, everybody.
All right, later. Thank you.